Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Governor Kristi Noem holds a press conference from the Capitol building today at 12:15 Central, 11:15 Mountain. We'll bring you that press conference live here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting Radio, including journalist questions and the answers to those questions. You'll hear all that in a few minutes. But first, Rob Monson is Executive Director of the School Administrators of South Dakota, and he's joining us today for a look at how schools across the state are adjusting to the abrupt shift to online learning. Rob Monson, welcome back to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here, Lori. Thanks for having me.
How are you holding up? How is your health? And your this is a trying time for everybody. What do you sort of reach to? I mean, obviously, you have a lot of purpose right now. How are you keeping that balance?
Well, it sure is. It's trying times for everyone, and you know, we all just have to dig deep and number one, take care of ourselves and those around us. You know, our loved ones, our families close to us. And then, do our best to provide support to everyone else we can. And from the perch I sit in, we have 149 school districts, public in South Dakota, and a number of privates that are members with our association. And we're just doing the best to provide updated information and reaching out to them and offering any support we can, to answer questions, to find things for them that we can help with. So really, that's, kind of my role right now is just being a somewhat of a messenger and providing support and telling them to stay well.
Yeah. All schools in the state are closed. Is that correct?
Well, I always hate to correct a reporter, but the school buildings are closed, but school is going on, Lori.
There you go. All right. All school buildings. Kids are not in school, but they're still in school. All right. What does that
correct.
Look like?
And that's a whole new paradigm. Yeah. Obviously there are districts that were in better positions than others. The one-to-one initiative with computers and things has been in the state for quite some time, but never really tested at this level. And so you have districts that are at different, points in time of where they're delivering this education or have been delivering this education. And the challenging part really becomes, those elementary kiddos. You just can't put a laptop in front of them in kindergarten or first grade and, pump information out to them and expect something great to happen. So there's lots of different approaches to that. There's packets going home. There are some online things we delivered. South Dakota Public Broadcasting is stepping in and providing some wonderful content. So really, there's lots of things happening. And the cliche I've been using is that a lot of people are building this airplane as they're flying it.
Right. Is every district kind of doing their own thing? Is there guidance from the state or guidance from your organization to say this is how to do it? Here are the standards. Here are some best practices. Or is everybody
That's the unique thing about a lot of states, but South Dakota in particular is local control trumps a lot of things. So, everyone is sort of doing their own thing, but there's a lot of communication between districts, between superintendents, through our office, through the Department of Education. Instead of everyone reinventing, they're talking to other folks and saying, what platforms are you using? How are you doing this? What's your policy? Or how are you handling the kids coming and going from school to pick things up? Do you have teachers coming into the buildings? All those things. So there's really great dialogue at the administrative level of superintendents talking to one another and the Department of Ed stepping in and providing a couple of conference calls a week just to talk about, what's the key thing we need to be knowing about right now and providing information. So just a lot of good communication.
Tell me a little bit about how some of those districts are really responding. What are some of the, I've seen teachers driving through neighborhoods and kids going out on their, in their front yards to wave at them. I've seen, music teachers doing some really innovative things in tough circumstances. What have you seen from districts across the state that really gives you encouragement for the innovation, the creativity, and the dedication of these educators?
When this first kind of was thrown upon our laps, we were just coming out of legislative session. So a lot of us had focus on, getting some key legislative bills passed, including funding and some relief to capital outlay. So we get through that on Thursday, and then all of a sudden Friday, we get this notice of, hey, everybody, we're hitting the stop button here for a minute. We're going to take next week off. There were some school districts that were lucky in retrospect that maybe they had a spring break built in for a couple of days there and just had a natural break. So a lot just kind of, you know, sat there and thought, okay, what do we do next? It gave some people some time to plan and get ready for, you know, inevitably what we knew would probably be coming longer closures of our buildings. So there was a lot of designing and building going on then. Some of the more novel things I've seen, Lori, again, in the superintendent group that is talking over and over, one of the school districts had assigned teachers almost like a mail route for their students who were out in the rural community. So these teachers would grab the sack lunches. They would take the homework that needed to go out and any other information. They would drive out in the country, stop at the house, you know, keep their safe distance, obviously, check in on everybody, see how they're doing, deliver the lunches, drop off what they needed, pick up what they needed, you know, and doing that on a daily or every other day basis. So it's things like that, setting up Zoom meetings with students, setting up any kind of communication to, you know, be talking to the students, checking in on them, providing access to information and answering questions. Just a lot of innovative things that are happening out there.
For parents who are frustrated that we didn't just, schools didn't just go to an early summer break and then come back later, who are saying, how am I supposed to supervise a packet and work from home, or I just lost my job, or some parents who are feeling like the burden of education is now, you know, on their kitchen table in a way that it wasn't before, what's your message to them about keeping school in session?
Yeah, one of the messages that I and a number of people are trying to send out, Lori, is number one, take care of the mental health of our children first and their safety and all of those things they need first. That's key, kind of the Maslow's, you know, make sure we take care of the basic needs. And the message I've been trying to send is, remember, you're sending things home to parents who are not the professional teacher that you are. So expecting them to carry out sort of the jobs that we do every day in our schools is a high expectation. Try not to overwhelm them. Just be rest assured we're trying to provide some supplemental and some additional growth type things. So let's just try and do that and make sure we aren't overwhelming them. So that's really the message we're trying to say. And we know parents are busy at home. They're stressed out. You know, some are probably getting laid off or sent home. So trying to complete homework packets and all that may not be their top priority. Right. So just do the best we can. Make sure we're taking care of those people and just don't overwhelm them at home.
And that goes for teachers and administrators and school employees as well. If they have children and they're working and driving those rural routes and coming up with new lesson plans while they take care of their own children. Much is being asked of all of us now, really, in a lot of ways. We're all acknowledging that, I think, at this point.
And some of the more interesting things happening are in some of the communities, the schools are being asked, and schools have always been a hub of the community, you know, where activities happening, whether it's the play or the basketball or football games, it is the central hub of entertainment activity in a school. And the communities are turning to schools now and saying, we need help with some child care. We need you to be watching some of these school-age students while the healthcare workers or the 3M workers who are making masks, you know, can go do the critical jobs right now. So schools have been stepping up doing even that kind of work.
Interesting. I want to talk a little bit, and just so listeners know, in about a minute or two, we expect Governor Kristi Noem to take the podium in the Capitol building and in Pierre, and we'll interrupt Rob at that point, and we'll go to that press conference so you can hear it live. But in the remaining 30 seconds I expect we'll have here, Rob, can you tell us a little bit about equity and just how we're dealing with some of these disparities between, you know, kids with IEPs or kids without internet? That's a tough situation to work through on a student-by-student basis, isn't it?
Yeah, and I sure can't do that justice in 30 seconds, but I'll tell you this. Students who are on IEPs are a whole different world than your average student that's coming into the school by contract and law and all sorts of pieces that we're all trying to meet those letter of the law and meet the meeting deadlines and providing the services. We're doing the best we can in the schools. And as far as equity, you are correct. You know, many homes have internet connectivity and are able to pick this up running. Others are struggling with that. We're proud of a number of internet providers that are stepping in and providing that for free, or at least trying to. So yeah, there are disparities there of what's going to get turned back into the schools and what's going to get done. So again, it's just, you know, let's keep an eye on everybody and just try to all get through this together. And most importantly, when we look back, remember that we all made it through this together and we're moving on.